Ramsey TV.
What's the matter? Don't you want to talk about the law of sin and death? It's Romans 8:2. It's scripture. I want to talk about it. I really want to talk about the law of sin and death. Doesn't this sound something that you too might want to get in on here in the morning, on Wednesday morning, the sun shining bright and the birds singing? Let's talk about the law of sin and death, shall we? But ladies and gentlemen, there is a method to my madness, and by the end of this video, you will be happy that I began it with a discussion about the law of sin and death. In case you're wondering, I'm the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. They call me Martin Zender because that's my name, and I am happy to open up the scriptures to you. You have to remember something. I myself learned this stuff. I either learned it from other people or I learned it from independent study, and the Spirit of God testifies to my spirit that these things are true. If you want to know some of my influences, one of my early influences was Ray Prinzing. Now, he wasn't a Body of Christ guy. He was a kingdom guy. He believed in Israel, but I first got details on the salvation of all from him. I would pop his tapes into my car. What was I driving at the time? Well, yeah, I had a AMC Gremlin for a while. I could see the road going through the floor of my car, and that is not a joke. It was very close to becoming a Flintstone car, where I was going to have to drive it with my running feet. Then I had a AMC. No, it was a Kremlin. Yeah, no, it was an AMC Eagle. The Gremlin I got for $260. Yeah, my father-in-law took me to a used car lot. I just got married. I just moved to Greenwich, Ohio, and my father-in-law took my wife and me to a car dealership, and I told him what I could afford. He said, hey, here's $260. Sold to the man with the bad haircut. I drove that thing. But it probably wasn't until I had a Renault Alliance that I had a tape deck. But anyway, I put Ray Prinzing's tapes in there. I would listen to him the 11 miles to and from the post office. And he was a big influence in my life. Later, I learned of the salvation of all through the Concordant. I learned about Paul's evangel and even more details on the salvation of all from the Concordant Publishing Concern of Santa Clarita, California. Dean Huff, James Gorham. I listened to tapes from these guys. I didn't really listen to any mainstream Christian people. No, I was into the, you know, hardcore guys. So that was my thing. And then inspired me to go thou and do likewise. I wanted to study like these guys did. Oh, and of course, A.E. Knock. I love that guy. So anyway, listen to this. The law of sin and death. Romans 8:2. I'm going to go to that passage after I get you all depressed. Sin and death is a law. It is irrefutably so. It is inescapably so. No matter how hard you try, you will not escape the law of sin and death. This operates in us in spite of our approval. We didn't vote for it. We didn't vote to be born in Adam. That is what caused us to be mortal. We inherited mortality from Adam, and we sin because we are mortal. And these are laws like gravity. The reason you can't jump up into the air and keep going is because of gravity. When you take something and drop it on the floor, I'm going to use this as an example. I have to do this. This is my notebook. And I'm going to drop it on the floor. I'm going to demonstrate gravity, and you're just going to see the gravity of this situation. Here we go. There's no way that that thing was going to float. No way. impossible for it to float. And you all know that, and you all expect it. We're living in the real world. This isn't dreamland. This isn't Leave It to Beaver. This isn't Lost in Space. This isn't Bewitched. This isn't the Jetsons. This is the real world, people. And it has laws that suck, but that we are beholden to. We are slaves of. Can't get out of it. The law of gravity is one. It's a real world. You got to fight it to get out of bed. Gravity. There are other laws. I don't want to get into them now. I don't want to talk about centrifugal force. I don't want to talk about, I don't know, those are the only two laws I know. Besides the law of sin and death. I tell you this because of what I'm about to read in Romans 8:2. But before that. Think of how trapped you feel. See, I'm not done getting you mired in the mud yet. Okay. Think of how trapped you feel every day. Can't get out of this stuff. And even though we are believers in Jesus Christ, you would think that would give us some advantage. It does, but wait a minute. It does. What do you see? Wait a minute. You think it would give us some advantage against or over, I should say, the law of sin and death. Hell, we can't even get any advantage against the law of gravity. I mean, yeah, we can get in an airplane, but it is still subject to the law of gravity, and it takes a lot of force to make it overcome the law of gravity. A lot of fuel, jet fuel, and it uses that clever little Bernoulli principle to make lift come up under the wings, but it's still fighting gravity the whole way. And when you fly somewhere and you come down, it's because the plane just backs off on the engines and you're falling out of the sky because of gravity. You're saving fuel when you come down because of gravity. The law of sin. Sinning means to miss the mark. So if you take a wad of paper and try to throw it in the trash and it goes wide left by a half inch, you've sinned. So there's no escaping it. And death, my God. Some of us, not all of us, will die because we're going to be snatched away. Some of us, those of you listening to me, and the one talking too, will be made immortal on our feet as we stand. However, we are all mortal, and mortality is coursing through our veins. All right, now that I've established you in the inescapability of these things, I'm going to read Romans 8:2. See if you catch this before I bring it to your attention. You're a pretty smart audience. You're brilliant. In fact, I have the smartest audience on YouTube, and you'll probably see it. And you might spit out your coffee. So happy will you be. Because I know many of you brew your coffee and time it. You time your coffee in conjunction with this show. Because there's nothing better than watching this show and drinking coffee. I understand that. So here we go. Romans 8:1. Nothing consequently is now condemnation. Oh my God, I love this truth. Are you ready for this? That's not it yet. Okay, just wait. Nothing consequently is now condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Not according to flesh are they walking, but according to spirit. For the spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus frees you from the law of sin and death. Yeah. You're getting it. I'm going to read it again. Romans 8:2. For the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus frees you from the law of sin and death. Law of and law of. Same words. Law of sin and death. Compared and contrasted to and with the law of life in Christ Jesus. Let me get my notebook because that damn gravity didn't let it come back to the table. Hang on. The law of life in Christ Jesus is just as sure and powerful and working of a law as the law of sin and death. And boy, does this tie in with a message I gave you yesterday on faith. Life, the promise of life that we have, the promise of immortality, is called by Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a law. It's a law of life just as sure, as powerful, as inescapable, as working, that is, as operating presently as the law of sin and death. But what does the Spirit's law of life do? The Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus frees you from the law of sin and death. It frees you right now from the law of sin and death. In what way? It is so sure, and it is so powerful, and it is so working in our lives as far as our expectation of, our knowledge of it, and our expectation of it, and our holding God accountable to it, because God says it's going to happen. That is, that we're going to be delivered from these bodies of death. This is at least as weighty and real as the law of gravity and the law of sin and death. It's so real and weighty and sure that Paul says that the law of life in Christ Jesus, even though we haven't officially come into it yet, even now frees us from the law of sin and death. In what way are we freed? We don't have to be disturbed by it, troubled by it. We don't have to cuss at it, because it is used as an example for us, not to us, for us, to make us see that because of this phraseology here, the law of sin, the law of life in Christ Jesus, but being put against the law or compared to the law of sin and death, God's trying to tell us that this thing is going to happen. The promise is now, is here. I mean, the promise is surrounding us. To God, it has happened. I mean, Paul uses the great figure of speech, prolepsis, in Ephesians 2:6 to say that we are now seated among the celestials. We're not now there. It's a figure of speech called prolepsis. I believe the elements there are before see, pro and lepsis, before see. So God sees us before it happens. That's how it's so sure to happen that he talks about it as if it has happened. Prolepsis, in a nutshell, means to call what is not as though it were. So you could say, well, our life, our immortality is not yet, but it's so sure that it's called a law. Well, how good is this law? It's as good as the law of sin and death. Are you solid on the law of sin and death? Are you solid that it's real, that you're not dreaming it, that it's not theoretical, that it's practical as hell? In a negative way? Yes, of course you are. Now I'm telling you that the law of life in Christ Jesus is just as real, just as practical as the law of sin and death. It seems incredible because to us, the law of life in Christ Jesus has seemed, even as we contemplate it as mature people, it seems kind of wispy, seems kind of dreamy, seems kind of far off, seems kind of like the song I sang yesterday, "When You Wish Upon a Star." But it is a law. It's a law that in God's mind is already operating, and he's trying to draw us into the surety of it by comparing it to something that we're familiar with. That's how you do it. You take something you're not familiar with, the law of life in Christ Jesus. What the hell is that? Well, I can make it real to you. How, God? Well, I can make it familiar to you. Yes, yes, but how? I'm gonna compare it. I'm going to analogize it. I'm going to draw an analogy between it and the law of sin and death, something you know about. I'm going to take something you know intimately and tell you that even now you are freed from it by contemplating on something that is just as guaranteed and just as real, though it seems ethereal and mystical and dreamy to you. That is the law of life in who? In Christ Jesus, who is an actual person, the Son of God, who is existent right now in heaven. Remember, faith is an assurance concerning things which are not being observed, a conviction concerning matters that are not being observed, an assumption concerning things that are not seen, an assumption. This goes along with that, what I said yesterday. We assume these things to be true, and here's extra great evidence that it's true. It's just as, I keep saying this, but I'm going to keep saying it, sorry. I mean, why should I apologize? It's just as sure and real as the law of sin and death. So aren't you now a little bit more thankful to God for the comparison? That's what this is. It's a comparison in the same verse. Read it again. The law, the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus frees you from the law of sin and death. So even though the law of sin and death is still existent and exercising itself on us, and the law of life in Christ Jesus, speaking of the life, is not yet coursing through our veins because we are still mortal, it's immutable. It's impossible for it not to happen. It is coming to your body, this change, this deliverance, guaranteed. If you have tasted gravity, you are going to taste rising to meet the Lord in the air. Both are laws. If you have tasted mortality, you are going to taste and feel what it feels like for it to be impossible to die anymore. It's a law. And may that law, the law of life, the Spirit's law of life, I didn't invent it, the Spirit of God did, the Spirit's law of life, may that law and the knowledge of it today free you from the law of sin and death.